Good morning. It is Sunday, January the 27th, and this is Ask the Mayor. I'm Chris Duffy, joined as always by Mayor Patrick Taylor. And Mayor Taylor, it's amazing. We are now at the end of January. The month has just flown by, and I know you are looking ahead to the coming months, and after a brief hiatus, you are going to be resuming your Mayor's Community Coffees, with the first one coming up in February.
That's right, and Chris, I second your observation. What happened to January? I mean, I remember we were toasting the new year, and now it's at the end of this month, and we're facing, as a town, a lot of new initiatives and new activities. For example, we'll be very soon entering into the budget planning process, which involves workshops, a town retreat, and then, you know, hearings and meetings about setting priorities and adopting a new budget by July 1st. So it will become a very busy time. And one of the things that I want to do with the Community Coffee series is to get people to become aware of some of the things that the town will be addressing in the coming months.
Right.
First of all, in February, I think it's the February 22nd meeting, and we always meet at the Hudson Library on the last Friday of the month at 11 o'clock. What I want us to focus on is, how do we become a Bear Wise or a Bear Smart community? Before this meeting, I will have gone with Cynthia Strain of the Bear Task Force to Asheville to a workshop sponsored by the North Carolina Wildlife Department on how to better manage our bear population and coexist with the bears. So from that workshop, we want to share with the people in the community some ideas that the town board and all of the people of the town can participate in, especially in controlling waste and garbage, so bears do not get into those kind of situations, and also education initiatives. So I'm very excited about having Cynthia there, and I hope people will show up. We had a meeting earlier with wildlife officials and other experts about bears in Western Carolina. A lot of that kind of went into the issue of bear hunting and so forth.
Right.
This is not about that. This is about how can we better coexist and manage the bear population in Western Carolina and in the town of Highlands and so forth. So that will be the focus, and I hope people will come out, share ideas about this important issue. I will observe, right now the bears are asleep, so it's not that big of a problem right now, but pretty soon they will be kind of stirring and getting up from their winter's hibernation and now, and they're going to be wanting food, and it will become a problem once again, like always.
Well, you mentioned too that kind of heading into budget planning season, and I understand in March you will be having some of the town staff at your community coffee, and they can kind of explain some of what they do and what initiatives they have on the horizon.
That's correct. And in the past, I've had like our town manager there, our police chief, our fire department chief, our recreation department head, our public works department representative. But maybe this year, I think I might just have a little ensemble of staff folks that will come in and go over some of the issues that we're dealing with the town. And I think I'm going to kind of keep it as a secret and as a surprise, and maybe make that decision as we approach that March coffee.
And coming up in April, last week we talked about what was arguably, I think, a win for the town of Highlands, for Western North Carolina, and that is the HCA Mission acquisition and what Attorney General Josh Stein put into the deal. Almost all the things that you and other municipal leaders had asked for as kind of some of the checks on HCA are now part of that deal. And coming in April, we'll have a bit more idea of how this is all playing out and what will be happening. And I understand you're going to have some representation at your meeting there to address that.
That's correct, Chris. Right now, with this sale and conversion, the officials with the hospital and so forth, they're in the process of actually making that transition. But by April, I believe that they will have more information about programs available and operating procedures and so forth. And in the spirit of us all working together, you know, I was kind of, you might say, in that process, the loyal opposition.
Mm-hmm.
But I told the folks at Mission, at the Highlands Hospital, the Foundation folks, and HCA that once this was approved, I thought it was important that we all come together and work together to make our healthcare system as efficient and successful as possible.
And I think it should be made clear, too, that you weren't necessarily in an adversarial position. You weren't opposed to the deal. No. You were in an advocate position for our hospital.
Thank you for making that point. That's exactly the way I viewed my role also. But with that all said, I've invited Jackie Medlin,
mm-hmm.
who is now the chief officer for the new HCA Mission Highlands Cashiers Hospital. I've invited her to come to the April 26 coffee hour and share with the residents and the participants her ideas and the plans that HCA has for the new hospital structure. So I look forward to that. And like I say, it's time for us all to come and work together. So that will be a very important community coffee that we'll be having. And let me also segue into one other item. During the past tree issue and some other issues, people have kind of been alluded to the fact, well, we need to have community town meetings. And my response has been, we have those. We have them on the last Friday of every month, starting in February all the way through October.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I view these community coffees with the mayor as. They're town meetings.
Mm-hmm.
They're not official policy. They're not, you know, no decisions are made, but there are opportunities where people can come, ask me questions, and I will be happy to try to respond the best I can. And we bring in people, community leaders, to where we have hopefully productive discussions. The other thing I would say is this, and I haven't said this recently, but some people I think might forget, if you want to come and talk to me about any town issue, I'm normally in my office at 9 o'clock. People can just drop in. If I'm in there, the folks at the front desk, I've told them, please let the people come on in and you know, talk with me. You can talk behind closed doors or, you know, in the open. I want to get feedback and information from people, so that's always been my policy. It still is. And also, you can email me at mayor@highlandsnc.org, and I'll try to respond as quickly as possible. Or you can call me on my cell phone, which is 828-506-3138. I really prefer, if you want to talk to me on the telephone, to call that number and not the town hall number, because mm-hmm. sometimes people will leave me a message and I've left the office and it might be a day or so before I get back to look at my messages. So I encourage people to contact me, or if you want to contact any of the board members, they too are willing to listen and get feedback from the public. And here's another value that I think is very important. If you're a citizen, you can tell your elected representative in confidence how you feel about an issue,
mm-hmm.
and they will treat that as such. They need the feedback, and everybody has the right to do that. So I encourage anyone to contact us if you have any concerns.
Well, one of the things that I'm kind of interested about with the whole HCA acquisition of Mission is the creation of the Dogwood Trust that is basically taking over from the hospital foundations, but with a different mission, a different directive, not really directing funds towards hospital operations, but to community health initiatives. And that might benefit this whole concept that I've heard of lately and has gotten some coverage in the papers of blue zones. It's kind of a multifaceted approach, and community health is a part of that, but there's more to that. Sure. And you have a bit more information on that.
That's right. And let me address that and kind of provide a report in just a moment. But let me also go back. You mentioned the Dogwood Health mm-hmm. Trust. A lot of people still think it's like the old model where they support hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
But under the law, HCA is a for-profit hospital. Foundation can't directly support a for-profit hospital.
Which to some people may sound like a negative, but I think it's actually a big positive.
It could be a very positive benefit for the entire Western Carolina region. at a previous board meeting, someone asked me the question, well, where did this Dogwood Trust get their money? And I will tell you where they got the money. When HCA bought Mission Hospital System, which was a nonprofit system, the proceeds from that sale had to go into a foundation that would be beneficial to the entire community.
Mm-hmm.
So a few weeks ago, or maybe a week ago, I don't know when this closing was done, but Mission was given a check for $1.5 billion and some change. It's hard for me to imagine this. It's not stock or property. It was cash. They used that money to set up the Dogwood Health Trust, which is now independent of Mission, independent of HCA, and its commitment is to promote health and wellness in the Western Carolina region, 18 counties. So that's going to be their goal, and it's going to take some time for them to really get in operation and start distributing money to nonprofits that advance those kind of programs in the community. So the important thing is that, you know, we support their efforts, because they will be making some huge decisions in the coming years. You look at a $1.5 billion, they could have in their reserves each year from investments and so forth, anywhere from $50 to $100 million to give to nonprofits in Western Carolina. Think about that. That is huge. That's more than most counties' operating budget.
Right.
So it can have a tremendous impact. One of the things that I'm very interested in, and my wife Sally are very interested in, is trying to promote health and wellness to where people don't have to rely so much on hospitals and emergency rooms. And that's by healthy and active living. And I went to a presentation through the League of Municipalities a number of years ago in Raleigh, where Tony Butner, who is head of the Blue Zones group, did a presentation about their research that started back in the 80s. They traveled all over the world and they looked at small villages and towns, and they discovered something very interesting, that many of these towns had people that lived to be 80, 90, and even over 100. And not only just living, but they lived active lives, healthy lives. They did not rely so much on a healthcare system. They were connected to their communities. They were engaged in work. They had a healthy diet and so forth. And there are about 9 determinants that this research discovered. And the Blue Zone people now try to promote that in designated communities like Fort Worth, Texas. There are many in the state of Iowa. Naples, Florida is a Blue Zone community. And it's a total community effort where the schools, the government, the private sector, the restaurants, the healthcare systems, all are focused on promoting healthy and active living and active learning and experiences and connecting the community. So Sally, as I say, has been very interested in this and has been involved in trying to build a coalition to where we could become a Blue Zone region. The Blue Zone people are very serious about this and documenting the research, and they believe that when a community addresses these 9 issues and really promotes healthy living, there are measurable results, and they document that, and they want a community where there's a large sample. At first, I thought Highlands and Cashiers would be just ideal because we do so much of it already, but we only have a population of a few thousand people. So what Sally has been doing is she's been going to different communities in Western Carolina. For example, she spoke to the Franklin Town Board. She's been to Silva and spoke to their town board. She's trying to build a region that would become a Blue Zone region, which is kind of innovative. And we're continuing to make those contacts. She's also talking to the Blue Zone corporation, if you will. It is an actual company, a corporation. Right. And she's coordinating all of these preliminary initiatives. Nothing has been decided. It's just kind of a feasibility process at this point. There is one thing that will be happening at the PAC Center June the 10th. That is a Monday. Tony Butner will actually be coming to the PAC Center and will do a major presentation about how to set up a blue zone region or community. And we will be trying to get as many people that are interested in health and wellness and quality of life to come and participate in this experience on June the 10th. More information will be coming out, but we want people from Franklin, of course, because they're going to be a stakeholder and participant, possibly. Silva, Cashiers, all of these areas, we want leadership and interested residents to come and hear this presentation that will be made by the Blue Zone folks. So I'm very excited about it. It's, to me, possibly one aspect and dimension of this whole initiative that the Dogwood Trust will be promoting, as well as our reconstituted Highlands Cashiers Hospital Foundation, which will also be developing new initiatives. I think that that will mesh very well with the goals that they're trying to set up too. So we'll keep you posted and give you more information about our progress on this Blue Zone initiative.
Lots to come in 2019, and we will wrap up on that note. I thank Mary Taylor for joining us this morning, and we both wish you a pleasant Sunday.